Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19, it says this. This is not my message, but I just want to encourage you. Sometimes we forget. It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Now, hear that. The times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you this morning, if you are born again, you have the blood of Jesus upon you, you've repented of your sins, we all qualify for those times of refreshing. And I believe today that God is really wanting to have those times of refreshing in the church. I believe that it's coming soon, that He's coming back for His church. And I think that He wants us to enjoy His presence. And so I want to encourage you, when we have a moving of the Holy Spirit, when we have God doing a work, let's all be refreshed. Amen? Can I say it again? Let's all be refreshed. From the young to the older ones. That we have those moments that God just touches us. And I know everybody responds differently to the presence of the Lord. Me, I am more of that type of guy that I get excited and I can't keep myself still. And my wife is one that will just put her hand up and tears will come down one cheek. The left one. No, just kidding you. But I'm just saying, everybody responds differently. But the thing is that we open ourselves up to that time of refreshing. I tell you, there's nothing that makes life better than being in the presence of the Lord and letting God do a work in our life. He can change our attitude in just a moment. Amen? He can change our uncertainty in just a moment. He can redirect our life in just a moment. And sometimes we don't get where we need to be with God is because we put an umbrella up and those times are refreshing. Can we just get done with the service? We need that time of refreshing in our church. You know what? A church that's going to grow is one that's going to let God move. And I thank you for that today. I thank you for the worship team that led us into His presence. I thank you for those in the sound booth that helped the service come together this morning and all that they do. I appreciate them all. Get out your, if you don't have a Bible with you, you can look on one of the pew Bibles to page 1145 this morning. The title of my message is Called to Produce. And we're going to look at John chapter 15 as we read that this morning, verses 1 through 8. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. Amen. This is, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you," speaking to the disciples. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burnt. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Listen to what this says, verse 8. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Lord, today we thank you, God, for your presence here throughout the service. And Lord, we ask that it continues in the preaching of the word. We pray, God, today that you'll just stir our hearts, God, today, and minister, God, in through your word, God, give me the words to speak of, and Lord, let our hearts receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think sometimes in the Christian world, and even when it comes to preaching the word of God, we jump to conclusions sometimes about what a person truly believes, especially when it comes to salvation, and especially when it comes to even staying saved. I believe we jump to conclusions because we don't take time to say, what do you really mean by that? And then comes the big argument that we hear all the time about saved by grace, and so I can do whatever I want and still be saved. We've heard that argument. I'm not telling you anything new this morning. And then it's countered, if it's countered with, well, you need works, then all of a sudden, you're a type of person that's saying you've got to work your way into heaven. We've all been caught in those arguments and had those times of arguments with one another, and or not necessarily one another, but with other people in our life. So we know that sometimes this is what happens. You know, I was thinking this morning, perhaps we should get away from both views. Now hold with me just for a moment before you start throwing stones at me. You know, John the Baptist said this when preaching to the lost. Matthew 3, chapter 8, he says, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Bear fruits worthy of repentance is what he spoke of in that passage of Scripture. Listen, what I'm trying to say this morning, it's important to note that bearing fruit is not another commandment to us. Instead, it is the result of abiding in Christ. It's not another commandment to us to be doing, but it is the result of abiding in Christ, bearing fruit. When we talk about having that relationship, can I tell you this morning that God has called Christians to be fruit producers? We are all called to produce. We are all called to produce fruit. Why is it important? Because fruit is the evidence of what kind of life that dwells in us. You want to know what's inside a person? Watch them long enough and you'll know what fruit or what kind of life is there because of the fruit that they produce in their life. It's important. Especially when you and I, listen, when you and I are supposed to be the light unto the world. We're supposed to be the light bearers, the ones that say, follow me and let Jesus change your life. It's important that what we are bearing speaks of who dwells in us. Amen? And so this is what I want to look at this morning, just for a moment, and talk about. There was an article in Living Faith that Jimmy Carter actually wrote, and he shared this story. He says, a group of Christian laymen involved in missionary work approached a small village near an Amish settlement, seeking a possible convert. They confronted an Amish farmer and asked him, brother, are you a Christian? Talking to the Amish farmer. And the farmer thought for a moment and then said, wait just a few minutes. He wrote down a list of names on a tablet and handed it to the lay evangelist. Here's a list of people who know me best. Please ask them if I'm a Christian. Wow, how daring. Could you give me a little more volume? How daring that would be to say, go ask my friends, but not just the associates, but ask them that live in my home. Ask them that know me at work. Ask them that know me in those inner circles if I'm a Christian. Don't let my words say it, but let their words say about what comes out of me, whether or not I am who I say I am. You know, Jesus gives us this very thought about fruit bearing in many passages in the gospel. But this morning I want to look at John 15 briefly in these next few minutes that we have. I'm going to give you an obvious outline here. Jesus is the vine. Obvious. Jesus is the vine in this passage of Scripture. C.S. Lewis said this, God designed the human machine to run on Himself. He Himself, talking about God, is the fuel of our spirits were designed to burn. Or the food our spirits was designed to feed on. Who? God. We were designed by God. We were made to run on God. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself. True peace and happiness has got to be attached to God. Because it's no other way. And when we talk about the vine in this passage of Scripture, we understand this to be Jesus is the true vine of life. Can I tell you this morning, we have no life without Jesus. He Himself said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. There is no way for a human to live without being attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. I don't care what others are saying. It is the only avenue that God has given us for life. And you must be attached to the vine in order to have life. Jesus in John 14, 6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. Donald Gray Barnhouse cites a story, and you can Google this. I Googled it. In Hampton Court near London, there's a grapevine under a glass. It's about 250 years old. It has but one root, which is at least 2 feet thick. Some of the branches are 120 feet long. And because of the skillful cutting and the pruning, the vine produces over 600 pounds of grapes every year. Even though some of the smaller branches are 120 feet from the main stem, they bear much fruit because they are joined to the vine. Now hear what I just said. They bear much fruit because they are joined to the vine. We bear much fruit because we're joined to the vine. And the vine is Jesus Christ. You can't tell me you're joined to the vine and not produce fruit. Because it has an effect when you're attached to the vine. See, He is the vine and we are the branches. In this story in John chapter 15. If we are truly attached to Him by grace through faith, we will produce fruit. Come on, let's throw all the other arguments out and just put it like this. If we're really attached to the vine, we will produce fruit. Amen? Because there's no other thing to do. Whatever flows through the vine will affect the branches. Whatever flows through that vine will affect the branches. If the branch abides in the vine, the branches will stay healthy and produce godly fruit even though they are polluted or living in a polluted world. Even though they're living in a polluted world, if we are attached to the vine, we will still produce the fruit that God wants us to have. A few years back, when we lived out on Rio Dulce Street at 125 out there, we had a property lines that adjoined with Eric and our neighbor there, and there was whoever had the house before us had planted some evergreen trees, kind of be a boundary. I liked it; it's just pretty nice. And one year, I noticed one of my evergreen trees started to turn yellow and kind of goldish looking, and I thought, man, I don't want that to die. I like those trees there. And so I called a man, and he came, and he said, I think I can take care of it. And he sprayed something on the outside of the tree, and guess what happened? After I spent my money, the tree still died. He didn't offer me my refund. But then, after I cut that one down to the ground, the next tree started turning goldish looking. And I thought, I know what's fixing to happen to that tree. So I called somebody else. And this time, this guy says, it's going to cost you a little more money, but this guy came in and drilled some holes close to the root system, down on the bottom of that tree, two or three of them, and linked them together like they were in ICU. And he started to pump medicine into that trunk of that tree. And guess what happened to the branches? They started to live again, and they started to prosper again. It because why? It came up through that trunk and into the branches. Nothing to do with the outside, but everything that was feeding on the inside started to look different again and to live again. My friend, that's what's spoke of when it talks about the vine being our life. It's through Jesus that we recover. It's through Jesus that we stay healthy. It's when we attach into that in this world that we live in. That's why we can say that He is the vine and we are the branches. When we get unhealthy, my friend, it's not something on the outside that's going to make us better. It's something that flows through the vine that's going to heal us. Come on, you can get bitterness, you can get all this other junk out there offended. That will never make you better. The only thing that's going to make you healthy again is get into the vine and let it heal from the inside out. And then we start to see it take place. Two of these trees were affected by the same disease, but the one that got healed was one from the inside. You know, it says for us, you know, we live in this world, and we, if we're not careful, the things in the world can bring death into our life. But abide in Christ will bring health and healing. When we think about the healing that comes through the vine. Now, I'm going to give you another obvious point. The Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. Gardener. He's the one in this story that we look at also in this passage of Scripture that we just read. He is the best, therefore He wants the best. Can we just think about that just for a moment? He's the best, so therefore He wants the best. When we think about the best, you know what He wants for us? He wants the best. He wants me to be the best Christian I can be. He wants the church to be the best representation that they can be in a dying, ugly world that we're living in today. He's not looking for the world to look, or the church to look like the world. He's looking for the church to look like Him. He wants the best, and therefore He expects the best out of you and me. To say that I can get saved and not worry about what God wants me to be, it just doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense is to let God make me the man or the person that God wants me to be. Because He is the best. When I look at His creation, it just blows me away. You know, we was up in the mountains this last month, and I was looking at the mountains. There's this one passage or one spot in between Red River and Cuesta that I said, man, this is one of my favorite ones. The rocks go up, and it's just like grander. And I tell Robin that every time, I'm sure she gets tired of hearing me, that I love this spot right here. That's not dementia or anything. I just love to repeat it all the time. But we found another place. We went, while we were just trying to find things to do, we found a place that's called a Rivers Recreation Area, a Wild River Recreation Area. It's just outside of Cuesta a little ways. And you drive out there, and it looks like you're driving through the panhandle of Texas, and there's nothing there. And then all of a sudden, there's these big canyons that are just amazing, drop off 800 feet, and there's these three rivers supposedly that come together, and you look way down there, and here these rivers are flowing, but it's just beautiful. And I think about God's creation. Can I tell you something? God doesn't do second best. And I know you have your favorite place. Some say, why do you love the panhandle? I think there's beautiful sunsets, beautiful sunrises, and the trees are not in the way. We can see if anybody's coming. I'm just saying, I love God's creation. I believe the panhandle is exactly like God wants it to be in its own beauty. And so when we think about God, why do we think God does not want to make you and me the best we can be? The best Christian we can be. See, it's not my choice. God wants to make me a better person. God wants to do a work in my life. That's who He is. When we compare to the creation, my friend, He has created you also and me. And He's given us new life through Jesus Christ that went to the cross, gave everything He had that we may have life. And to come out of sin, not to live in it. Why would we not think that He wants to do a work in us? You know, and this brings us to that next part. It says He'll prune us. You know, pruning is to make something better. Pruning is something to make something better. Jesus reveals two actions of the vine dresser. One, He does something with the branch that isn't bearing any fruit at all. Two, He does something with the branch that is bearing fruit. Two things that are happening here. He's pruning the branches, the ones that are not producing, and also those that are producing. Did you know that when it comes to pruning, a gardener has a great eye for what needs to be cut and what does not need to be cut? Debbie Schooling, is she here? Yeah, she went out and she pruned the rose bushes on the other side, on the west side of the church, clipped them all off. If you go look at them now, they're all blooming. Have you looked out there? They're looking nice. There's a reason to bloom is to bring more fruit or more production. But when it comes to a trained gardener, they know exactly what to cut. Now, when I go prune something, I think, well, let's just make it shorter. Jerry's with me. So we just make it shorter. But listen, when a prune, a guy that knows what he's doing, there's nothing hidden that he won't take off to make the plant better. Matthew 10:26 says, "Fear them not, therefore there is nothing covered that shall be revealed and hid that shall not be known." That's who? That is the Father that knows how to prune. And He knows what needs to be pruned. Jeremiah 16:17, "For my eyes are open, all their ways are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes." When we think about God and what God does, I found out a long time ago, it's not what I feel God thinks, it's what God truly thinks. Amen? I tell you, we can all come up with that when we're trying to live in our sin, when we're trying to justify my behavior. We can all live in, well, I feel God will be all right with this. But I'm going to tell you, the one that prunes knows exactly what needs to come off. And you're not going to fool God. I'm not going to fool God. If I'm a dead branch attached to the vine, I'm going to be pruned off of it, my friend. At that judgment day, when I breathe my last breath, the pruner will already have it off. We don't get to do that. There's nothing hidden from Him. It doesn't matter what theology I come up with. It doesn't matter what the professors are telling me in college. It doesn't matter what the way I was raised. The truth is the Word of God and the Word of God only. And that's what the pruner uses. The Word of God. If the branch is bad, he will prune that branch completely off the vine. Can a branch be bad and still be attached to a healthy vine? Yes, it can. But he says, I will take that off because it brings no fruit. You know, God will cut that off. You know, it fits into this category. What is a bad branch? Maybe Christians by name only. Perhaps you know some of them in your life that they're Christians, but only by name. They fit into one, or maybe they fit in one of the categories spoke of in Matthew 13, the wayside that heard but did not understand. Or maybe they were the group of the stony ground, no root, but tribulation took them out. Or maybe the seed was cast among the thorns, and the cares of this world has caused that branch to die. Listen, it's not to make something of the Word of God that's not there is wrong. And the Word of God says there are those times that people receive the Word and they later reject it. And that branch has been taken off. Or maybe it's Hebrews 6 that totally decided to go back to the law instead of what the message they heard about Jesus Christ. All these are there. Those moments that God speaks of in His Word, you can't hide it, you can't take it away. There is such a thing as losing your salvation. There I said it. Why? Because there is no fruit production. It's not God just saying, hey, I'm going to prune that off. It's because there's no life in it. There's no fruit in it. Therefore, the Heavenly Father takes that off. Did He say, hey, was He the one that caused it to die? No. It was choices in our lives. In the parable of the sower, it was the choices of those that received the seed for the fruit to die. So that branch will be cut off. It doesn't mean they can't be back where they need to be with God. The only way you get there is you just say, I'll never believe in God again. I know people like that. I don't want no part to do with God and all that. I would not want to be them on that day of judgment. You can get back where you need to be if you'll just repent again. Many of us heard the Word when we was kid, went wayward, came back when we was older. Some of you stay with God all your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for room for all of us. Some of you should have shouted with me, amen. Praise God. But let's talk about the good branches just in these 5 minutes that y'all have left. Listen, there's not a branch one perfect. Not a branch one perfect. We got to understand that in verse 2. And it may be producing but needs some special treatment. some special treatment in the way it's producing. And it makes a difference when we do this. You know, sometimes a branch can get a little disease on it. Can I tell you, when you walk around offended, you got a little disease on your branch. When someone treats you wrong and you got unforgiveness, you're getting a little disease on your branch. When you start to get a bad attitude that isn't godly attitude, you've got a little, and you may be producing fruit, but God's going to do all He can to prune that out of you. Don't shout me down. He'll do all He can to prune you out of that. Because He doesn't want you to quit producing fruit. And the reason you quit producing fruit, when a branch gets a little disease in it, it doesn't produce the fruit that God wants it to produce. So therefore, He's got to prune it with hopes that it will produce fruit once again. I'm telling you, you don't produce fruit running around with unforgiveness in your heart because it will not work. But forgive whoever that person is and watch the fruit multiply in your life. That's called pruning. Pruning. God prunes us in order to produce more fruit. A wife tells a story of a pruning, not about her husband or anything, but it's a peach tree stands in our backyard, unpruned. The tree grew big and leafy, and it was loaded with peaches, although the fruit was disappointingly small and tasteless. The year he was out of work, Larry went to work on the tree. When I came back from school one day and saw how far he had pruned it, I stared in shock. "You've killed it," I cried. "Now we won't have any peaches at all." I was wrong. I don't think she wrote that. Never mind, I better go on. All right, the spring, the pruned branches had burst forth. That spring, the pruned branches burst forth with beautiful blackened of peach blossoms, and soon little green peaches replaced the blossoms. Leave them alone, I begged. Larry ignored me and thinned the fruit. By the end of summer, the branches were so heavy laden that they had to be propped up. And the peaches, oh, how large they were, and sweet, juicy they were. There was no denying it. The tree was far better off from the painful pruning that it went through. Come on, folks. Sometimes what I'm trying to tell you, the Master, the Father, will put us through painful pruning because nothing's hidden from us. We get things in our life, God's going to prune it, and sometimes it hurts. But let me tell you, when He finally gets it out of us, we will produce the fruit that God wants us to produce. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And He will produce it to where it is what God wants it to be in our lives. See, no one wants to go through trouble and suffering, pain, but look back. Larry and I, she says, can say, "Thank you, Lord, for pruning us so that we can be the man or the woman God wants us to be." Pruning's never fun. The key is this: God the Father is at work on us to produce more fruit. That's it. He wants us to produce more fruit. I believe if the church would produce more fruit in America, we'd see an amazing thing take place in this country. Listen, Mark chapter 4, verse 20 says this: "But these are the ones sown on good ground." Talking about the good ground in that parable I talked of. "Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Listen, all of us are producing different levels of fruit in our life right now. Amen? You take the newborn Christian, there's a different level of fruit that they're producing. You take the one that's been around, been through a few trials, they're producing probably a little more fruit. You can either let trials in your life make you bitter and a sad person, or you can let them make you better. Amen? How many want bitter or better? I want bitter? Better. Okay. Fooled you. All right. But God wants that. He wants us to produce. So what fruit should we be seeing in our lives today? I can tell you 9 for sure. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." What fruit does he want us to be producing? It's those. That's a children's church memory verse. The other day at Sam, we were around the table praying, No Mercy. What a game for Christians to be playing. But by the way, I won. But and I think I mentioned the fruit of the Spirit. Sherry started quoting them from her Mission Net days. Learning them. And, you know, it's nothing. Don't get me wrong. We need to learn them, but we also need to see them being produced in our lives. We need them to be coming up inside of us. Because, see, these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. A woman had a dream where she wanders into a shop at the mall and finds Jesus behind a counter. Jesus says, you can have anything your heart desires. Astounded or shocked. But please, she asked for peace, joy, happiness, wisdom, freedom from fear. And then she asks, not just for me, but for the whole world. And Jesus smiles and says, I think you misunderstood me. We don't sell fruits, we only sell seeds. Wouldn't it be great if we get saved, all these fruits are already abounding in our life? And I tell you, we get the seed of the Holy Spirit. We get the seed of the Holy Spirit that is attached to the vine. And when we attach to the vine, it is good soil. It will always produce the seed and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's our job to make sure that our vine is not affected by disease, that the flow of the Spirit, the flow of the vine would flow in our lives, and that we will be those that are called to produce the fruit. Called to produce. Who? Not just me. Every one of us in this house, and you that are watching online this morning, we are called to produce. I'm not called to argue about my salvation. I'm not called to argue about your salvation. I'm called to produce fruit that says, I got something living in me named someone named the Holy Spirit. And that seed that dwells in me is the one that will produce those fruits that I need this morning. I don't know. Sometimes you wonder, you know, Rob and I, we pretty well gave up on growing anything. Put the seed out. Elizabeth blessed us with some tomato plants. First time we've actually had some tomatoes that put these little bitty tomatoes. They're like little bites. But they were good. But I'm going to tell you today, it takes a lot of work to get that thing, the soil right, the water right, to bring that stuff up. And the reason many of us are not producing the fruit that we need is because we're not taking the time to let the Holy Spirit water on us. Rain on us. Come down and produce that which God wants to produce in our lives. It's that we need in our lives today. See, the seed in us makes it possible for us to produce the fruit that God would have us produce. Listen to John 15:8, and I'm done. I know I'm 4 minutes over. I'm sorry. John 15:8, see what it says. By this my Father is glorified. What? Because I'm a preacher? No. Or you're an excellent Sunday school teacher? No. Or you're an excellent wife or a husband? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That you bear much fruit. Produce is what the word bear means, that we produce much fruit. This is something that I think all of us need in our lives, is to bear more fruit. Those nine that I spoke of this morning, we're going to be looking at them in the next 9 sermons. Not this afternoon. Next 9 weeks, other than when I let Rod come in and preach. But I think, and this is what God's put up on my heart to do a series on this. This is my introduction message this morning about what God wants us to do. Can I tell you something? We can get rid of a lot of issues in the church if we just let the fruit of the Spirit flow in our lives. Marriages can be healed. Relationships can be healed. I'm just saying today a lot of things can be mended back together if we let the fruit of the Spirit be produced in our lives.